G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. Now, at times, the episodes get pretty emotional, like Ricky Ponting talking about his son.
Two lots of 3 weeks at a time in intensive care where you're just not really sure what's going to happen, but no, he got through the first one fine, and then when he got to 6 months of age, he had another pretty serious infection that we didn't know anything about, the doctors didn't know much about, and yeah, that was the scariest one because he was sort of shut down for, well, he was, I think, sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes, and yeah.
Yeah, I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's... now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
Fucking deep breath and get on with it, eh?
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, g'day, Roo. How was your weekend?
Oh, fantastic. Another weekend down and another weekend closer to September.
You had a very, very big social calendar, didn't you? Very busy social calendar on the weekend.
One of those weekends where you have a bit on, yeah. Oh. Footy Friday night and 40th on Saturday and a 40th yesterday. A triplet's 40th.
A triplet's 40th, really?
Yeah, one of my mates is a triplet and, yeah, so they had... they all had to invite their fair share, and when three people invite their fair share, you end up with a fairly big show.
Yeah, I would have thought. So yeah. You're like me as well. Don't get invited to 21st anymore.
No, I'm on the 40th now. Yeah, which is good. It was a great show, and what a close family, and good speeches and stuff like that. So down at the Cathedral, one of the good pubs that we promote here on Triple M.
Yeah, good.
And it is a cracking pub.
Were you upstairs on the outdoor bit?
Cracking room. They got a function room and that room where we were in as well. So if you're thinking about a function or something, have a look at the Cathedral. It's a real good pub.
Yeah. All right. Coming up today, Roo, I need to ask you all about the Crows Friday night because I thought you were robbed in the end, to be honest. But there's a theory in sport that if you don't make 20 mistakes during the game and miss goals and whatever, it doesn't come down to the last kick. However, it did come down to the last kick. And that's the worst 50-metre penalty I've seen in years.
Look, there was Crows had frees. You can look at it so many ways, the game on Friday night. We'll have a look at it later. The Crows, they might have been robbed with that, but they got a fair few others, and they missed plenty of shots at goal. Yep. So I think it's a perfect result for them, Dits, anyway. So we'll talk about that later on.
On a sad note, we're going to cross to Barcelona about this young Australian 7-year-old boy. It's so, so sad, isn't it?
Yep.
So we're going to find out the absolute latest over there. Plenty to talk about on this Monday morning. Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Oh, it's been a cold start too, Roo. It's 8 degrees out there at the moment.
Freezing.
Top
wet.
Of 16. Yeah, it's very wet.
Bit of rain around today again.
Indeed. Making news around the place. This is a bit sad for me. When I was a kid watching Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin movies, they were prolific and throughout the 50s and 60s. And I remember things that, I suppose because we've got Foxtel and the like now, it's all changed. But you used to have these sort of movie marathons. So I remember school holidays, like every morning at 10:30, there'd be a Jerry Lewis movie. Or another school holidays, it'd be the Three Stooges or, But Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin just made me laugh and laugh and laugh. So he's passed away, Jerry Lewis, age 91.
Yep.
He's had a good innings. But a lot of people listening of our age group would have grown up watching a lot of Jerry Lewis movies.
Him and Dean Martin would have had a bit of fun there for a while.
I think so, yeah. Certainly in Las Vegas.
Wow.
The parties they had with
in
the Rat Pack.
Heyday.
Yeah, so there you go. A sad day. Jerry Lewis no longer with us, Roo.
Yeah, no, very sad stuff. But that seems to be happening a bit lately. Footy finals is not too far away. And now that Adelaide Crows fans and Port Adelaide fans know that their teams are going to be in the finals, they are starting to look at booking flights in the hope and dreams that they'll be playing in the grand final. And things are starting to get expensive already. There's talk of flights being worth between $600 and $1,000 already for the grand final. We know how dear tickets are to get for the grand final as well. I think, you know, they're a minimum of a few hundred, and you could pay $1,000 easy for a ticket on grand final day. So it's already starting to get expensive, and that's without, you know, our team's even anywhere near guaranteed of being in it. So you have to take a bit of a punt if that they'll get in, and even if they don't, that you'll still go and enjoy whoever is in there. So it's an expensive punt, but if you don't take it, it's going to get more expensive by the win, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Even the, you know, Port on the weekend, now that they look like they'll definitely get a home final. They'll beat the Gold Coast this week, you would think, because they're not going any good. So Port will be, you know, they're half a chance now. So it's good, exciting times ahead if you've got a little bit of cash in the bank.
Yeah. All right. Now, Roo, another crash yesterday. I saw this on the news last night. I could not believe the carnage. Did you happen to see this one out in the northern suburbs? Out
I've
in
seen, it, seen it today. I didn't see it yesterday.
So we're talking stolen car. It just brings up images of and memories of things we're hearing far too often here. So a stolen car, group of lads, apparently 17, 18 years of age, have ploughed into a mother on her way to work, minding her own business, a
40-year-old,
driving in her uniform, on her way to work on a Sunday, and just gets blindsided and killed on the spot. It's horrific. It's terrible. And again, it conjures up all of these questions. What should happen to these lads? So it's just, it makes you so angry.
Yeah, and then what do they do? Jump in another stolen car and don't even go and check if
take off.
They're all right. Mm. They are just out of control. These kids or juveniles or whatever you want to call them that are doing this stuff. Just what? I don't know. I don't get why you'd be doing it.
But, Roo, it's indefensible. And what I've read about previous cases, there'll be all sorts of arguments about, oh, they're young, they deserve a chance in life. And you're going to hear all the BS about this from the people defending them. And that, again, makes me angry as well.
Well, I told you about the last one we spoke about. I knew a copper who knew someone at the scene, and he said that the lad was laughing.
There you go.
Afterwards, now just try and understand that. I hope it was nervous laughter, which some people can do to try and cope with whatever's going on, but it doesn't excuse it.
No, it doesn't at all. All right, Roo, that's what's making news around the place. In a moment, we're going to head to Barcelona and find out about the family situation over there. The young Australian boy that unfortunately has been identified, the seven-year-old. It's Roo and Ditz here on Triple M.
Roo and Ditz for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, very, very sad. I guess we've been waiting for this over the week and the confirmation, but the young seven-year-old boy from Sydney has in fact been identified.
Yeah, one of the 14 that was killed in the Barcelona terror attacks, but this is shocking news.
All right, let's go to Channel 7 European correspondent Hugh Whitfield. Hugh, it's not the news we wanted to hear, is it?
No, it's not, but I think, unfortunately, it was kind of the news that we've been expecting to hear for the last couple of days. It's taken a long time for Julian's body to be formally identified. Spanish and Catalonian officials here had believed for a couple of days that they did have Julian's body, but they needed that formal identification when his father arrived, and when the DNA results came back, that took 2 days. So heartbreaking news. And the Cadmans have released a beautiful statement describing him as a cheeky, funny little boy that they will miss, obviously, immensely. And even talking about other families and the thoughts and prayers of theirs that they have for other families impacted by this. So incredibly selfless at the same time.
When we saw the pictures over the weekend of the father arriving in Barcelona, at that stage, Hugh, was there any hope at all, or did he actually know that he just had to go straight to the morgue?
He knew he was going straight to the morgue, and that's where he was taken straight away. So, look, I mean, this is a difficult kind of story to report because off the record, we were being told that there is no one missing. And so we know what the outcome is going to be, but we can't tell you that because we can't tell you that without being officially informed about, because we can't tell you that before the family's informed. So it's a difficult story and difficult circumstances for everyone.
Yeah, sure.
Well, congratulations on doing the right thing and letting the parents deal with it in the way that they need to. This must be such a tragic time for his mum and dad. Do you know how they're holding up? I mean, I just can't think of anything worse.
Well, his mum's obviously in hospital still. She's suffering leg and facial injuries. She's probably going to be there for some time, keeping in mind that she and Julian were here for a wedding that was meant to be on Saturday. So there's been a lot of family members around who were obviously in town for that wedding.
Gee.
But just, look, it's unimaginable. And I can't imagine what Andrew Cadman would have been going through on that flight. So, look, it's incredibly difficult. And being repeated 14 times over, 13 victims here in Barcelona, one more down in Cambrils, with this string of attacks over the course of about 24 hours here last week now. Just terrific stuff.
Yeah. Hugh, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Good on you guys. Cheers.
Channel 7 European correspondent Hugh Whitfield. And as you just said, Roo, you're a parent, so am I, and many, many people listening. How long would that flight have been for the dad, Andrew Cadman, just thinking and thinking about what he was about to face?
Oh, just bloody horrible. Once again, it just goes back to what we spoke about last week. It's how the hell these people think that this is doing anything in the name of their religion or faith or whatever you call it is bullshit. It's terrible stuff.
Couldn't have said it any better.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, I reckon Gil McLaughlin's got a lot to answer for, you know, and he's done it.
What are you going on about now? Deliberate?
Friday night. You had to work at the game. You had to call the Adelaide-Sydney game
for
Triple M.
I wanted to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but scheduled on the same night.
Oh, righto. Now I know where you're going.
Glenunga under 12 girls grand final, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
who schedules these things on the same night?
Yeah, I'm not sure about who's done that. Maybe the SNFL might have had a bit more to do with that than the AFL.
Because you're a bit on edge. You were sitting next to me on my checking the scores of the Glenunga under 12 girls.
That's right.
And what happened in the end.
I devoted my whole Sunday morning, Friday night, every week for the under 12s, and I've had a great time doing it.
Mm.
First time I'd coached a team in any capacity in anything.
Right.
And it's a good little thrill watching the kids improve from start to the finish.
But didn't
none
they
of them play? Had played before, only one of them had played footy before.
Yeah, weren't the games every Sunday?
Yes.
And then you get to the grand final.
Well, the finals were on
Friday night. Who did that?
Oh, I don't know, Dits. But anyway, you had to choose. Well, I didn't even get a choice because you've got to go to your employer and do your job for Fox and for Triple M on Friday night. So had to handball the reins over to Johnny Cunningham, like we spoke to last week, and Johnny got the job done. They had a good win.
The way I see it, he's the premiership coach.
He sort of is.
He'll be in the photo.
Like Warren Treadray's the premiership captain.
That's right.
That's, you know, you lose it, don't you? If you're not there, you're not there. You're not part of it. And you don't feel like you're part of it.
No.
It's been a tough weekend to get over, to be honest.
It's hard when you get these dilemmas where you've got to be in two places at once, isn't it?
It's very hard to be in two places at once.
I know Joel Cross, McGarry, who, you know, the WAG.
He got 40 disposals on the weekend.
40 disposals on the weekend. Now, he had a dilemma. His best mate was getting married in London.
Best mate.
And Joel was meant to be best
man. And he didn't go.
Didn't go. And thought about this off and on over the last few weeks. Will South play finals? Won't they? Will they play finals?
And they lost.
So he stayed and they got pumped by Sturt.
But he got 40 disposals.
Got 40 disposals. But it's hard. Have you ever had that dilemma where you had to be in two places at once?
Is that like when you get married on grand final day and things like that?
Yeah. Mm. I can honestly say if a friend of mine did that, I just wouldn't go. I would not be there. There's no way in the world.
Ah, you're a good friend, Dits.
Well, grand finals only happen once a year.
And you only get married once in a lifetime.
Okay, you might have me there. Yeah. Hey, has this happened to you? Two places at once. How do you decide? It's like choosing between your favourite, you know, having a favourite child.
Yeah, 133353, give us a buzz.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, when have you had to be in two places at once? And this happens a lot, the big decisions you've got to make in life. Roo Friday night had his little girl Sophie's first ever under 12 grand final. And he had to be at the Sydney Crows game.
Bloody hell. Let's go to golf for you. G'day, Deb.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Have you had to be in two places at once?
Well, you know the year that you decide, let's go to the grand final because it'll be really good.
Yeah.
And so we got a wedding organised on the grand final day and we said, oh, that's cool. Okay, we'll have to give it a miss. And then the grand final drew and we had a wedding the following Saturday.
Oh. Back to back.
Yep.
Oh, well, was that the St Kilda Collingwood one, was it?
Yeah. We had a friend as a Collingwood supporter, and so we were going to organise with him and get tickets and everything, and the wedding invite came out beforehand, luckily.
Oh,
But, yeah. And then we said, oh, that's all right, we'll go. Yeah, no.
So you went to the footy instead?
No, we went to the wedding.
Oh,
did the right thing.
Oh,
Did you sell the tickets and you got out of it okay financially?
Yeah, we got out of it. So, yeah, we were lucky. But, yeah.
Well done, Deb. You did the right thing.
I feel for you, Deb. I feel for you. What do you mean she did the right thing?
Well, sort of.
Sort of.
By a friend she did.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids, $1,000 pressure test.
Yes, on this Monday morning, can we give away $1,000?
Let's go to Fairview Park. G'day, Jamie.
Hey, how you going, boys?
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, not bad, mate. So?
Not bad, yeah. No, very good, thank you. What are you up to today?
Just on my way to keep the recycling process ongoing.
Oh, right. Good on you, Jamie. Keep the wheels of industry turning. Well done. Well done. So tell us a little bit more about your job then. What is it you do exactly?
I'm a forklift driver at Denron Metals.
Yep. Denron! I know the boys at Denron very well. Jamie Hatchard and the lads down there.
Yeah, I've seen you down there before.
Yeah, good stuff, Jamie. All right, let's win $1,000 cash, eh, mate? You ready to go?
Yep, ready.
Give us 10 sporting teams that have blue in their uniform.
Carlton, Arsenal... Geelong.
Yep.
Blue Eagles. Pakistan.
The mighty Adelaide Crows.
North Melbourne.
Yeah, the Crows, North Melbourne.
Bad luck, Jamie. Jamie, let's have a listen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Correct.
Oh, mate, we got Royal Adelaide Show tickets for you, mate. You can go along with a mate or your girlfriend or whoever. And if you purchase tickets now, Roo, you can save up to 15%. Jamie, Pakistan are green. what was the other one? Arsenal have been red for about 200 years. But anyway. anyway, Jamie,
When you're driving your forklift around today, just think about the Crows, think about West Coast Eagles, North Melbourne, Sturt.
I'll be thinking about Carlton.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Well, they had a good win on the weekend, anyway, Jamie. Good
Thanks
stuff.
For calling in, Jamie.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian Government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Triple M.
On a Monday morning, Roo, we like to open the phones up on 133353. Are you ready for this, Roo?
Sure.
Let's go to our first caller. Hello, good morning.
Good day. It's Murray on the Murray.
How are you, mate, on this Monday morning?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm a bit worried about the furnace.
What's happened with the furnace?
Tell us why he's called the furnace again.
Well, when it's his shout, he always goes out.
Yeah, the furnace.
He doesn't get down to Adelaide much, the furnace, and he went down there the weekend, and he was in Rundle Mall and this market, you know, doesn't like the crowds and stuff like that. Well, I'm not ringing up for an argument or anything.
No.
The market researcher came up and they stopped him and said, look, I've got 10 questions for you. Question one, he said, have you ever had a blackout? So the furnace said, no. And then he says, and finally, question 10. And so, you know, he didn't know what to do because he went from question one to question 10. He didn't know whether he'd been there for the other question.
He blacked out, did he?
Right. Well, he didn't know whether he'd blacked out or whether the bloke had gone straight from question one to question 10.
I think he was meant to say yes. Argument. I think he should have said yes, I have been involved in a blackout.
I know you've been scammed, Dits, recently. Yeah. I just want to know whether there's any scam going on down there.
He got out of that one well, I think.
Question 10.
Yeah, we're with you. Yeah. No worries. All right. Thanks for ringing in, Muzzet.
See you, Muzzet.
Righto. Time for our next caller. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Christopher. It's your mother.
Vera's on the phone. Yeah. G'day, Mum.
It was a good win by our team, wasn't it, Christopher?
It was in Ballarat. They did well.
Did you go to Ballarat?
No, I didn't, Mum.
Why didn't you go to Ballarat?
Well, because I had to work at the game Friday night here at Adelaide Oval, and it was a bit difficult for me to get there.
Well, did you get to Shanghai?
No, I didn't get to
you
Shanghai.
You never went to Shanghai.
No, I didn't.
Your father wouldn't be proud of you,
no,
seeing
that
you're a fair-weather supporter.
No, I'm not a fair-weather supporter, but I can't be everywhere, can I, Mum?
What did you do yesterday, Christopher?
Had to go to a lunch down at Glenelg yesterday.
Oh, was it a sportsman's night for the port?
It was similar.
It a beer night with the boys, was it?
It was similar. It was 500
yeah,
women,
was
actually.
It was
500 women, but it was for a good cause. It was Make-A-Wish Foundation.
They didn't drink, Vera.
They had a high tea.
Well, you know, a high tea?
Yeah, I know.
A high tea, Christopher?
Yes. He loves his cucumber
What's wrong
sandwiches.
With local pub with your mates and having a couple of pots of you doing a high tea.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Christopher, before I go, can I stay at your place till Christmas? I'm having me kitchen renovated. I need to stay at your place till Christmas.
Till Christmas time?
Is that all
kidding.
Right?
No, I have to ask Kate first.
I'll call you later about it.
Righto, okay, good, Mum.
See you, Vera.
My Scottish mum, unbelievable. Righto, let's take our next call. Hello.
Good day, boys.
Who's that?
Tex. That's the Texan.
Hello,
Tex. Yeah. Oh, look, we got off to a bit of a slow start, didn't we? But, we didn't get the chocolates, but is there any mathematics? We can't get off the top of the ladder now, can we?
Yeah, you actually can, mate. But you can.
How, mate?
Well, just get beaten this week and GWS win.
What? But we'll get them on percentage, won't we?
No, they had a draw.
If they have a draw.
They had two draws, actually, and we had one.
Oh, yeah, right.
It doesn't really matter if you finish second, other than the fact that you're not minor premier, Tex.
Yeah, I can't say about umpiring, but, it's actually... I rang Bernie. Is he all right, do you reckon?
No, Bernie's in trouble again.
No, he's not. He'll be right. He'll be right.
I don't know. Anyway, do you hear about the bloke that kept hearing music coming from his computer printer?
No.
No.
Oh, he didn't worry too much. He realised it was just the paper jamming.
Very good. I like it. All right, Tex. Thanks for that. We'll see you tomorrow, Tex. Right. Time for one more call. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Ruboy. Hello, Tex.
Hello, Tommy Tai Chi.
Not too happy today, you know. I had a big week and we had a lot of people through, but you know, there's some bad people in the world.
Why?
I can't look at good side. You know what happened to Tommy?
What?
One customer, he did not pay.
No, did a runner.
I look up and he gone and he did not eat much. He just had dim sum, he had the beef and black beans, sauce, Singapore noodles, finish up with lychee. Oh, you got another word for lychee. We talk about that.
Yeah.
He have lychee ice cream. Then he ran off, you know?
Yeah.
I just said to him, he was wearing a camouflage shirt and he was on crutches. You know what I said to him?
What?
You can hide, but you can't run.
Right. Well, I'm sure you'll catch up with him.
Was he faking an injury, was he?
I don't know. They just put that on it. See you later, boys.
Right.
See you later, boys.
Down for Yum Cha on Friday down there in Goodger Street. Thanks, Tommy.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rue, I couldn't believe the pictures I saw on the news last night of this horrific crash out in the northern suburbs out Parra Hills way.
Yep.
The car absolutely demolished and squashed, and a 40-year-old mother has lost her life.
In her uniform on the way to work.
Just
trying to do the right thing on a Sunday morning.
Unbelievable, on a Sunday, minding her own business. And again, it's a stolen car at high speed, went through a red light, totally cleaned her up, and she was killed at the scene.
Shunted her car 50 metres. Now, imagine how fast and how much of a hit that car and her she would have taken. Just disgusting. And the worst part about it is they get straight out into another stolen car and get out of there as quick as they can.
All right. Let's hear from the police at the scene yesterday.
A two-car collision occurred at the intersection of Kings Road and Main North Road, Parafield, just after 6:30 a.m. this morning. Sadly, a 40-year-old Mawson Lakes woman died when her Nissan Micra was struck by a stolen four-wheel drive. The three male occupants of the stolen vehicle were then seen to get into another stolen car and then drive away. When the crash occurred, it's totally unbelievable and disgraceful how they crashed into this car at high speed, jumped into another car and left the 40-year-old woman there in the car.
Exactly. Now, Roo, you rarely hear police use such aggressive language. Well, he was clearly frustrated,
that
officer.
He was very, very frustrated. Very, very frustrated. You could definitely tell that he's not happy. And, you know what? We don't even think about this, but imagine the poor police that have to go and deal with the lady. I mean,
all right. So what about her children? I'm not sure how many kids she has, but what about that? So,
husband,
three lads were eventually arrested. Now they've been released overnight. They stayed in the cells. They've actually been released without charge. We don't know why. I can only hope and presume they're the wrong three. Because if they're not, why on earth would they have been released without charge?
Yeah, well, there must be obviously something going on. They wouldn't let them go unless they had to. But let's hope they find the three and they get what they deserve.
Now, I think those that were arrested, now we don't know, again, maybe they're not the right ones, but I think they're two 17-year-olds and an 18-year-old. And the civil libertarians, again, Roo, will believe that they deserve a defence and that we shouldn't be too harsh on them and give them another chance and rehabilitate them and educate them and teach them. I find all of that very, very hard to stomach, to be honest.
We're not winning the battle with this stuff. We've spoken about this a few times about it, but yeah, like we see it, read it, talk about it. I just wonder whether these lads that are actually doing it just live in their own little world where they probably never do read it and see it, believe it, and worry about it.
Just lock them up and make the rest of us safe. Just get them off the streets. Get them out the way.
Yeah.
A lot of time, resource, and money and effort goes into trying to teach these kids and rehabilitate them. And maybe they're not worthy of help.
Yep.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's a tough one, that one. But you just feel for that lady and her family and everyone now. It's just shocking stuff again. Yep. And it won't be the last, unfortunately.
No.
It's going to continue to happen.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, we are heading to the middle of Australia somewhere, out in the desert, I think. Mick Malloy. Mick, what are you doing?
Hello, boys.
What are you driving back from Subiaco?
Oh, mate, what a win. What a win for the ages. I've had a great weekend. I've been in Alice Springs. I've seen the Melbourne Cup in person. I've raced in the Henley on Todd. I stood in a pub where motorbikes drove through. I watched a 100-point victory. But I'm now in a 1923 Vauxhall driving out of Alice Springs on the way to Darwin. Come on.
Oh, no. What are the odds you don't make it?
Now, I'm pretty good at this stage with my good mate Andrew Cannon. Give us a horn, Andrew. Hello, girls. We're out cruising for ye oldie style chicks at the moment.
Oh, good luck.
And it's going very well. We're raising money, of course, for the Kathy Freeman Foundation.
Brilliant.
Which Andrew administrates and I'm an ambassador for. It's one of the best. It's been going for about 10 years. Andrew's driving his car, 10,000 k's around Australia to A, raise money, and B, awareness for one of the great charities that helps out so many young Indigenous people in so many different communities. And I couldn't be happier to be a part of it. And as I sit in the car, I'm listening to Triple M, but it's 1926 Triple M. I'm listening to a 40-minute music marathon that's just been banned. What's going on, mate?
How long have you been going on this thing for? A few days, Mick?
It's been a while now. We could use a shaver and a bar of soap if you have one. We're getting to know each other very, very well.
Gee, what's the stench like, mate, in that car?
I couldn't be happier, mate. And also, Roo, I have to get home in time for a Thursday, of course. But you will be our special guest.
I will be.
On the front bar. Oh, and we've been doing a fair bit of research, I have to say.
Look after me, Mick. I know Sam Payne likes getting stuck into me, but you can look after me.
Our carburetor just fell off.
Hey, now, Mick.
And I'm getting high on the smell of octane fuel. This is the best trip ever. Did you see that eagle, Andrew, or is that an hallucination?
Now, Mick, before you leave us, we've got you singing the club song. Tell us a bit about this.
Watching the Tigers tear apart a hapless Fremantle, and on the siren, I was having a couple of drinks with some mates, and my good friend Richard Thomas burst into song. And as one of our finest opera singers, he gave the old yellow and black a certain je ne sais quoi.
Well, let's have a listen.
All right, we'll leave you to it up there, Alice. We'll go out with this, Mick. So enjoy it, and I hope you reach Darwin.
G'day, Good on you, lads. There what you could go wrong?
nothing up there. Oh,
Mick Molloy. Let's have a listen to him doing a bit of opera.
Anywhere you will see us with a grin. Hey, risky head and chin. Hey, we're behind the never mind. We'll fight and fight and win. And we're from Tigerland. We're never weak until the final. Fire and sun. Like the fire of all. We're strong and we're bold. Oh, we're from Tiger. Yellow and black. Oh, we're from Tigerland.
He does get into it a bit, Nick, doesn't he?
Sounds like he's fresh. I would be just about stuffed after 3 days. I just seen a photo online of what he's cruising around in. Mm. It's an old convertible.
You're kidding.
That's why it sounds a bit loud out in the middle of nowhere. But I'll be having a bowl there. Nick Molloy.
Good stuff. Ruined it for breakfast on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
Roo, Friday night, we were promised the game of the season and we got it. 3-point win to Sydney. I've got to be honest with you, though. I've run into so many Crows supporters since. And they keep saying, we were robbed, we were robbed. That 50-metre penalty at the end. And look, I thought it was a shocker of a decision. Terrible decision.
Yeah, well, it was the wrong decision, clearly, like 100% wrong. But at the end of the day, they had so many chances beforehand and they had rub of the green with free kicks throughout the night. So you can't let that worry you in the end. And I don't think they would be too worried down there at Adelaide about the result. They didn't need the 4 points. What they needed to do was just to see if they could match it with a side like Sydney, who are proven finals performers, proven big game players. And other than the first 10 minutes, they really did match it with them. And in fact, they looked the better side for a majority of the night, but nearly blew it with that bad start. So they got a reality check about what they need to do from the start of the game. They got a little experience of what it's like playing against a side that puts enormous pressure on in the midfield. And Sydney are the best at the comp. They smashed the Crows last year in the finals in the first quarter doing that, and then they smashed Geelong the week after. So if they've just got to improve in that area, which they got a little check with. But then after that, I thought they controlled the game pretty well for most of it. Couldn't put it on the scoreboard for the whole night. And ended up losing the game. But I think they'll be better for it. Tex didn't play to his usual standard. And I think they'll be quietly confident now that if they play them again, they're a chance to beat them. I think they're the best two sides in the competition. And but that's not to say GWS and Geelong and Richmond and maybe even Port Adelaide or even Melbourne, if they got it right on the day, can't play good enough to match it with them. So. But they've got to get there first.
Yeah. Did Buddy kick the goal of the year?
Buddy kicked a great goal. And, he was on fire early. And I thought Alex Keith did a good job on him. Early on, he got beaten by him. But that wasn't necessarily Alex Keith's fault. It was a few turnovers from Crows players. And, Buddy would have done that to anyone out there. But I think they got through the night pretty well. I think Tarley is fine. They didn't get any other injuries. They'll play this week, which will be another tough game over in Perth because West Coast Eagles, they should know whether they can make the eight before it starts because Essendon play Freo in the early game on Sunday and the Crows and West Coast is the last game. So they'll know if they can make the finals by that point. And even if they do win, they'll have to win by a fair bit, West Coast. They've got Pritis, one of their famous players, retiring, and Mitchell's going to retire. So there'll be a lot of emotion in this game as well. So it's one of those tricky games that can happen in round 23. It's far from a dead rubber. So Crows win that, or even if they lose, they could finish anywhere from first or second and play any one of GWS, Geelong, Richmond, Port next week. So in the first week of finals. So a few variations going for them.
All right, Port Adelaide went to Ballarat, and we are now 1-1 in Ballarat. Unbelievable.
Yeah, your new home ground.
One from one.
Yeah, so good win by Port Adelaide to beat the Western Bulldogs there and probably make their chance of playing finals just about non-existent. I mean, they can get there, the Dogs, if Essendon and West Coast and I think St Kilda all lose. But they've assured of a home final in the first week. That's their worst result, getting a home final, which is a great reward for Port Adelaide. And they can still sneak into the top four if Richmond get beaten by St Kilda. So and then win by enough against Gold Coast that Sydney doesn't jump them. So there's a lot of combinations still
sides. I reckon we'll play Melbourne here in the first week of the finals. A lot of people think Essendon.
You reckon you'll finish fifth or?
Yep.
and Melbourne will finish eighth.
Mm.
Yeah, there's so many ways. I mean, Melbourne could finish seventh, but it doesn't matter. You'll probably play Melbourne or Essendon in Adelaide.
In the first week. Charlie Dixon, I was going to say he's come good, but he's been good all year. He's been very, very good, but gee, played his best game on the weekend.
Well, I think we spoke about this last week. If he can kick three or four or goals instead of one, it makes him such a better player, and that's what he did on the weekend. Did all his hard stuff, his tackling, his pressure acts.
Yeah, he was great.
All of that sort of stuff, and kick four goals. That makes you a very, very good key forward. So Big Charlie could be the man in September that does it for Port Adelaide. You need a big fella to kick to long and high under pressure, which finals are, and Charlie is providing that. And even if he doesn't catch it, he'll bring it to the ground for Wingard and the Gray brothers. So a good win by Port Adelaide, and they've got a game against the Gold Coast, which they should be a soft kill, really.
Hope so.
Should be easy for them. Right, both sides should be ready to go in the finals.
Yep, that's how Roo saw the weekend.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, last week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night, I went to Sean's restaurant. Our mate Sean Connolly.
In Sydney.
Yeah. I was there for the afternoon. And you know, he's got Sean's Kitchen here, but he's got a great restaurant in Sydney called The Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, he said, what do you like on the tooth? I said, oh, yeah, I'm not bad. I reckon I can knock down a big steak or something like that.
What does it look like?
Anyway, he said, how about this? What do you mean?
No, that's what you said to Sean when he said, am I any good in the tooth? He said, well, you said, what does it look like?
Mm. Right.
You got it?
No, I haven't yet.
You've carried a couple.
Right.
You eat.
Eh?
You eat a bit.
Yeah,
you're carrying a couple. You got it yet?
Fair enough. Anyway, the reason, before you interrupted me, the reason I was telling this story, there was this little Chinese lady, Jackie Lim was her name.
Jackie?
Little Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
She ate 120 oysters.
Right. Little Asian girl.
Yeah, and I said to him, get out. And he's pointing, he goes, no, look at it. She ate 120 oysters.
Mm.
And it actually reminded me of the great Bruce Abernathy. You know when the Oyster Bar first opened here in Adelaide?
Oh, down
in
legendary.
Down in East Terrace. And Peter Daly used to run it.
Yep. Stand Ledger behind him, there and hold court.
Anyway, they used to put your name up on there was a gold plaque. You'd get it engraved. It wasn't just write it up in chalk. They'd engrave it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm right in saying that Abba had 12 dozen one night. And he was with Matty Campbell,
144.
Also a football fame.
Yep.
And he polished off something ridiculous like 11 dozen as well. And they got their names up on the board. Could you eat that many oysters? That's ridiculous.
Well, it was up there. It was a real challenge to do. We went to the Balaclava Cup one day when we weren't playing finals. Because it's always that first week of finals, the Balaclava Cup. And I remember we had a massive day, bus trip up there, big day on the beers and bits and pieces. And it's always a long trip home. And then we called into the Oyster Bar and Peter Cave and knocked off, I don't know, it was about 10 dozen after being at Balaclava Cup all day. And not just your naturals either, which slide down a lot easier. He had ones with bloody cheese on it and bacon and green ones and all sorts. So you'd hate to see the toilet the next day, wouldn't you?
And had an erection for a month as well, apparently.
He didn't need any Viagra, that's for sure. there's plenty of other little eating comps on that out there, whether it's big schnitzels or burgers or you can eat pizza bars. Or you eat pizzas or,
They reckon swimmers. I went to school at Henley Beach with a lot of swimmers and surf lifesavers, and they reckon after
you
a morning session.
You went to school with a lot
of
swimmers.
It's quite ironic, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, they put you off, did they?
No, I wanted to go where I knew I was safe. I had surf lifesavers around me. But they would talk about eating, 18 Weet-Bix and things like that after training and just wouldn't touch the sides.
Yeah.
They just had such an appetite.
Yeah.
What's your eating record? I'm keen to know what people can put away.
Yeah, even a little bit of obscure ones if you've got them.
133353. Can you top that? Can you top 12 dozen oysters? Give us a ring, 133353. I'll tell you what we've got. We've got footy tickets to go and see Port and the Gold Coast. Or what else have we got? I'll tell you what. We've got footy tickets to the Gold Coast. I've got to save these other.
What about the old packet of yo-yos? I'll tell you what, if Mum and Dad slipped out, me and my brother would go through a packet of yo-yos. Dunking them in Milos.
Yeah.
If you held them in there a little bit too long, they'd snap off and in they go.
End up in the bottom.
133353.
What can you tell us about your eating, your championship, your records? What have you done? Tell us about your eating records.
Let's go to Enfield. G'day, Rex.
How you going?
Yeah, not too bad. What's your eating record?
23 vertebrates.
Is this a regular thing, Rex, or is it just something you did once?
It was a couple of years ago. I used to knock over or kill, whatever way you want to put it, at least a minimum of 15.
Oh. Right. What, just what, because you were that hungry or you needed to eat them or you just liked
them? No, I was always on the move. I'm always moving. I can't stand still. I just keep going.
Are you a big
fella,
Rex?
Other big... No, I'm only 5'11", weighed about 72 kilos.
Oh, you're a little fella, really? Yeah.
Fit.
I'm only a little fella.
Yeah.
You can eat.
A couple of years back or a bit further than that, when I used to do a bit of training, I used to kill 7 to 8 bowls of porridge before main breakfast.
Bloody hell. Righto, Rex.
What were you like as a kid? And you kept telling Mum, I'm still hungry. You can't be. You've had 5 bowls.
Well, Mum always used to say there's bloody bread there.
Yeah, exactly right.
I reckon...
fill up on bread.
Rex, go to the quack and get him to look up your clack. I reckon there's a worm up there. A tapeworm or something. I really do. Who you got now, Roo?
We've got Greg from Morphavale. G'day, Greg.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, good, Greg. Are you a big eater?
Oh, well, yeah, some would say that. But my wife, I'm ringing up about my wife. She complained about not having steak too often. And I thought, I'll fix her, so... Went down the local butcher, got her a 1.1 kilo T-bone.
Yeah. Right.
Texas T-bone.
Yeah, cut its throat, wiped its bum, threw it on the plate, and come back about 25 minutes later, bare bone.
she knocked it off.
Really?
Oh, she knocked it off. She loves it. She's on the tooth, all right.
Right. Greg, what's her name?
Cindy.
Good on you, Cindy. Well done. 1.1 kilo. Fantastic. All right.
G'day, Ben.
G'day, how you going?
But do you like a bit of a feed every now and then?
Definitely.
Righto. What's your record, Ben?
I've had a few, but one of my favourites would be at the Harndorf Inn. They have a metre and a litre challenge.
Oh, a metre and a litre.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
Metre of sausage and a litre of beer.
Now, is the sausage in bread as well?
They do now. They didn't originally, but they do now.
Because that would make it hard.
Definitely a lot harder.
Did you do it with the bread or without?
I've done it without the bread and with the bread.
Oh, good on you. Professional.
And how hard is it to eat a metre-long hot dog?
Almost impossible, but, you know, you can cram it down.
You did? You completed the challenge?
Yeah.
And how long does it take to eat?
It took me probably about 30 minutes.
Right.
Because you've got to get it down quickly. You won't finish it.
Do you get a prize for finishing?
T-shirt.
What's it say on the shirt?
Can't read it.
I know that I can't remember what the new one says. The other one says just meter and leader challenge.
Just meter and leader challenge. Well done, Benny.
Good on you, Ben. I like it.
Let's go to Seaford Rise. G'day, Brenton.
G'day, Roo. How are you?
What have you done on the tooth?
Kilo schnitzel every Thursday night at the Beach Hotel.
A kilo?
Kilo snitty.
Yeah, kilo chicken snitty and a beer for $25.
Wow.
And then you don't eat till Sunday.
That's it, mate, pretty much.
A kilo and chook. That's a whole chook just squashed.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Still half the missus chips while I'm doing mine.
Oh, no.
So do you get a lot of people down there having a go at this?
You get a few, yeah. You get a few, yep.
All right. Good on you, Brenton.
Good on you, Brenton. That is one big snitty. Let's go to Roseworthy. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, guys. How are you this morning?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. What have you done with the food?
I'm from a little town in the mid-north called Laura. We make Golden North ice cream.
Yes.
Played my first league footy game at Laura. Beautiful little oval.
Bit of a favourite spot up there, Roo.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
And we like our ice cream a little bit more than we should.
Yeah.
So my brother and I he holds the record. I'm not too happy about it, but I'll get there one day.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, I can clear that. We do a litre of ice cream at the Folk Fair. Every single year for the last 10 years, takes around a minute.
To eat a litre of ice cream in a minute?
What about your ice cream headache?
You don't even think about it. Gee. You cook for 2 days afterwards, but the $20 and a little trophy at the end of it is almost worth it.
Oh, so, well done.
Adrian, the Golden North ice cream is easily the best ice cream
going
around.
Hands down, guys.
To make it worse with that, though, we get beaten in the first heat, so you go back for a second heat.
Try and do it quicker.
Well done. That's commitment.
When we were driving from Waker at Adelaide all the time, we'd stop at Truro and have a Golden North honey ice cream in a cone.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Right.
That was a little break up for the trip. Let's go to Gawler. G'day, Matt.
How you going, boys?
Good, Matty. Good, Matt. What do you like eating?
Oh, I've got that litre of ice cream and the meat-long hot dog covered, I reckon, boys.
Oh. What have you done? What can you do?
One day after school footy, we all got a bus ride to Pizza Hut, and me and the big fullback, Brownie, we got in a bit of a competition, and we nailed 37 pieces of pizza each.
Each, yeah. Not between you.
Yeah, well, I won the comp by default, because once we got on the bus, he chucked all over the back seat.
Oh, come on, Brownie. No, disqualified when you spew.
Yeah.
Yeah, the meat lovers everywhere.
You don't sound like a big boy, Matt.
Oh, 6 foot one, mate. I'll knock back anything.
Yeah, good work. Well, 37 bits of pizza is unheard of. I've heard of about 15 or 16.
Oh, gee.
And they're not the thin things at Pizza Hut either. They're the old school, buddy.
I'm hungry now, Ruth.
Yeah, so am I. I might have 6 bowls of porridge. All right, well, let's give Matty from Gawler, I reckon. I don't think we can beat that, can we?
37
bits of pizza.
Good effort.
You can go to see... Well done, mate. You can go and see Port and the Gold Coast.
Beautiful. Cheers, lads.
Good on you, Matty. Well done.
Have a pizza at the footy.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.